It's a good day. We could go home now and we'd be happy. All right, turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we've been looking at God's growth plan. And we're going to continue, but we're going to kind of take a turn today. And we've been looking, you could say, at concepts and principles. But now we're going to look at practices. We're going to look at practices that we see from God's Word that will cause growth in your life. And we understand from what we've already discovered that it is God the Holy Spirit who is working in us. It is His Word that causes, His Word grows in the soil of our heart. But there are things that we can yield to God and participate that we'll see from Scripture. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint by which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So that we saw that the Word of God grows in the human heart. But all of us together, our human hearts and us together, we could, this big, big, fertile farmland, it's called the local church. That's where we grow. It's by God, but it happens in a place called the local church. And the New Testament, when you look in the book of Acts and Paul's writings to those churches, the Bible emphasizes that God cares about, and He is thrilled when people are joining a church, when people are coming out of darkness into light. And sometimes it would even note, like remember Peter when he preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. Other times where a church would grow. And so God is absolutely interested in numerical growth. Sometimes people say, "Oh, Miracle Life, all you care about is numbers." Well, no, that's not all we care about, but we really care about numbers. Because here's the thing, you are number 312. And we care about you. So I hope we care about numbers. And if 312 is missing or broken or hurting, do we care about that number? Yes. Yes, we do. All right? And God says, I want my house to be full. I want my house to be full. But the New Testament, at the same time, it's never, ever, ever either or, cares about the growth of the people who are in the church. So it's not just that we're growing in the Lord, but God wants more people to grow in the Lord. So that is a tension that we must always keep in mind, God's heart. Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Here's a good example. "Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem." How many of you, that's a good thing? "And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." So these priests that had this Jewish background, they were following in the footsteps of Jesus. All right. Now, let's go ahead, kind of fast forward in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 4. This was kind of a turning point in the book of Acts, where in chapter 10, Gentile believers were now being added. And they had, you could say, their own Pentecost when Peter was preaching in Cornelius' house, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. They were saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues. And But now the Jewish people are saying, what do we do with Gentiles? And so they searched the scriptures and they began to now tell churches from the Word of God how to handle Jews and Gentiles in the same church. And so there was biblical teaching that went out over this issue. In Acts 16, verse 4, it says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem." And when you look at those, it was biblical teaching. All right, so there was this letter that had gone out. And then notice the effect in verse 5. "So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." Strengthened in faith and new believers were coming. All right? So this is so growth happens in the context of a local church. So we have at Miracle Life endeavored, from pastors and leaders and board members to head ushers to people who lead worship, leaders at every level, we understand that we have responsibilities. And we really try to take them very soberly and biblically. And so we understand and pass that on to others, the responsibility of leaders at every level. But you know, the Bible also talks about the responsibility of believers to the local church. Believers have responsibilities to the local church. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And these believers understood their responsibilities from day one. And they understood that there was a commitment. Acts chapter 2, so Peter preaching the first New Testament sermon, and people are getting saved, people who had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, and so they were from all over the world, and the supernatural outpouring. Then he proclaims the gospel to them. So, in verse 40, it says, "And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." Verse 42, "And they," so these are the believers who were baptized, "and they devoted themselves." Everybody say devoted themselves. There were four things they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So there were people who received Peter's words. It really implies that there were those who rejected Peter's words. Okay, especially the guys in Acts chapter 4 who were still mad at Peter and John for speaking about Jesus. So there were people that received, they followed the instruction of Jesus to be baptized in water, and then they devoted themselves, believers. So this is a personal decision that happens by the individual. Okay, it doesn't happen to you, it happens by you. And the Greek language there for devoted themselves, I was really shocked. It's really strong. All right. It says to continue in something with intense effort. I'm devoted to the local church with intense effort. With the possible implication of there may be difficulty. So I'm devoting myself to something. So I got the picture that came to me was somebody running a marathon race, right? So they've devoted themselves to these number of kilometers, and when they've got the hill and it's tough, what do? They stick it. They stick to it. They devote themselves. So they continued in these things: the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. All right. So today, if you're a visitor, we are so, so glad that you're here. But today is going to be a little bit of a family meeting. There's a lot of family stuff that's already happened, right? Dedicated babies and pastors. All right. So this is going to continue in that theme today, where we want to kind of have a chat around the Word of God. And the last 3 years of the COVID pandemic, where churches were open and closed, and can we be together, or can we sit next to each other, are we allowed to greet, or can we just nod our head at each other, all right? It was extremely weird and strange. Most of us have never seen anything like it in our life. And one of the places that got disrupted was churches. It was churches. Because COVID is transmitted in the air, and so if you're, 2 meters, and certainly at Miracle Life, we didn't want every Sunday to be a spreader event, okay? So we took some precautions. But now that the world is coming out of that, we have developed some habits from the pandemic that aren't biblical. And we need to get over them. And we need to let God speak to us about devoting ourselves to some areas that He has for us. So, the idea of you sitting in a room, and I did this with my wife at times, you know, the best we could do for church was to sit in a room with a laptop and hundreds of distractions, right? And so, you know, I didn't really like that song, so I fast-forwarded through that song. Just keeping it real. Anybody did the same, right? Because you could always go over to this church. You go over to Elevation Church. And they got hot music, right? No, but I'm sure nobody did that here. Okay. So, but the idea of you sitting in your house watching a laptop is not a biblical option for church. All right, and if you're watching this on Monday morning, and maybe you're overseas, or maybe you've got an illness in your life, we're so, so glad that you have this option to still participate, right? But when you're better, we've got a blue chair ready for you at Miracle Life. There's a chair at a connection group that needs you to be there. Okay? So let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. And this church, you talk about problems. All right? They had lots of problems, and they had some things, pretty cool things that they were commended about. But there was one thing that, even in some of their carnality and misunderstanding, there was something that they got right very well. 1 Corinthians 11, 17. Now, Paul says, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you. How many of you know that? That's another way of saying, I'm about to rebuke you, right? So I don't praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Next verse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. But noted that even in their divisions and their strife and some of their wrong things that they were doing, it says, when you come together as a church, there is no such thing as an online church. It doesn't exist. Okay? And if you have a certain minister that you follow from another, and that's my pastor, that's my prophet. No, they're not. They're not. They don't know you. They don't know you. And whether they're good or bad, or their teaching is good or bad, they don't know you. And when your marriage is messed up, they're not going to help you. And when you have a flat tire, the best they're going to give you is a bumper sticker on the boot of your Corolla. Okay? So, online church is like transatlantic marriage. doesn't exist. Or if you think it does, you're going to get into a real shock that it doesn't exist real fast. Okay? All right. But everybody is here today smiling. Okay, so we're not really talking about you. But when we come together as a church, we come together as a church. So, those of you that have made a membership commitment at Miracle Life, what we saw today is exactly what you did. You said, I'm going to devote myself. I'm going to make a commitment. And what we see in the book of Acts is, so the apostles' doctrine, and you could say that happens in a sermon, it happens with biblical singing, it happens in school for life, right? But the other three things, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer, do you know where those happen? You know where that commitment takes place? That devoting of yourself? It happens in a connection group. And something's happened at Miracle Life. And here's kind of a little family chat here. Is that years ago, as leaders, we thought, you know, I think it's better that people are already in a connection group before they become a member, because that's just a vital part of it. We also felt that if you're going to get married at Miracle Life, and one of the two might be from another church, but the person who is here, they need to be in a connection group. Okay? So what we saw, we thought that was a good idea, but here's what we're finding, is that somebody wants to get married, and so just like they're going to book the wedding venue, they sign up for a connection group on paper. And no one knows you because you've never been there. But you're able to say, oh yeah, I'm part of a connection group. No, you're not. You filled out a piece of paper because you wanted to get married at Miracle Life. That's not devoting yourself. Right? And what's amazing in the book of Acts is nobody gave them a list, I don't think. It just came naturally out of their heart that they realized we need to be together. And maybe one of the reasons is because the Romans wanted to kill them. So you better stay together when the government and a whole bunch of people with scary uniforms want to kill you. You better stay together, all right? But in the same way, so we don't live in a country where people are trying to kill us, but they do want to sway you from your faith. They do want to influence you, all right? So as we come back, and we are coming back to church, thank God. And so we see our church attendance on a Sunday is great. And Merge and Impact and M Kids are bursting through the seams. You know what's not bursting through the seams? Connection groups. Some people still want to just log in on WhatsApp. And I'm telling you, if you are me, yeah, I'm logged in on WhatsApp, then I'm watching funny cat videos on YouTube. Or I'm multitasking. You know, put it over here, do this, do that. All right. Where that is not devoting yourself to fellowship. Now you might say, hey Pastor, oh, you don't understand. Traffic is crazy. I do understand. Traffic is crazy. And I just can't get back to my other connection group. Get a new connection group. Go say goodbye, cry, and then find someone. Then find a group that's 5 minutes away from you. Devote yourself to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to pray, and to pray with each other, and to pray for each other. All right? My wife and I are committed to small groups and people. And the small group that I'm a part of on Friday. And I don't know about you, if you are committed to a connection group, how many of you know sometimes the connection group is on the night that is not convenient for you? I mean, you just got overloaded with work, or you're studying, you've got an exam the next day, all right? And so, but I made a commitment. I didn't, there was a part of me, I thought, can I get out of this? But I didn't. And I'm so glad I didn't, because I made a commitment to my brothers. Amen. All right. And so devote yourself. Devote yourself. And so I want to look at a few areas where, let's say at Miracle Life, if you undevote yourself. Okay. And at Miracle Life, and this is just a helpful teaching also, is that we don't ever use the term, now I can't remember the term, when you kick somebody out of church. Excommunicate. We don't believe that's a biblical word, okay? Because excommunicate has the idea that you are shunned from the church, and then you're not allowed to take the sacraments. And the sacraments actually save your soul. So excommunication in some places means you're going to hell. Okay, so you can see why we don't believe that. All right, so we don't believe that the sacrament of communion saves your soul. It's wonderful to do. But we do have to think, what if someone uncommits or doesn't want to participate? So they're folks, and we really, really appreciate when people come and see us, and you should, to say, Pastor, you know what, my family and I, we feel that this other church is better suited for us, or there's another reason, and some of them are decent, legitimate reasons, okay? And so we will bless you. We will not try to hold on to you. We won't put a curse on you. We won't threaten you. We won't make innuendos. Well, it's fine. You can leave. But I mean, the last people that left, you know what happened to them, right? So we just don't believe that. We don't believe that Miracle Life is the best church in Lusaka. We don't. Why? Because I've been to other churches, and I know what other churches are doing that are way more awesome than us. Okay, so we're a healthy church, and there are lots of healthy churches in our city, in our nation. So if God leads you, then we'll shake hands, hug you, bless you, and say goodbye. Okay, we're not asking you to do that. Please don't misunderstand us. All right, but if that's the case, then you can. All right, but then there are folks that decommit. That don't think they've decommitted. There was someone I hadn't seen for like 10 years, and I knew they weren't here for 10 years, and saw them, and I called them up and said, "Hey, it was so great to see you at this function, man. I hope you're blessed at your local church, and you know, where have you landed in local church?" He said, "Oh, no, Pastor, I'm still at Miracle Life." No, you're not. You haven't physically been here for 10 years, okay? And that's okay, but don't, because at Miracle Life, we don't believe that if you are baptized here and have a certificate, then you have lifetime membership. Okay, it's a commitment. It's devoting yourself to something that is biblical, all right? Turn with me to Galatians 6, and here's another part that we feel is good to say, because we do say this in membership class, but I'm not sure everybody gets it at the time. Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And so if you're a member at Miracle Life and you are overtaken in a trespass, a sin, in wrongdoing, if you're overtaken and we know about it, we are going to go into restoration mode. Not punishment mode, because that's not our job. Not condemnation mode, because that's not our job, but restoration mode, meaning you're in trouble and someone is there to help you. Okay. Sometimes in that restoration mode, people are very aware that they've been overtaken in a sin. So repentance has already happened. And so we come alongside and we do our best to restore. Other times, there are members who are overtaken in a sin, but they don't know they're overtaken in a sin. They don't think it's a sin. They think it's awesome. They think it's fine. So in order for us to restore, we need to have a truthful chat about your sinful behavior. Well, I don't want the church being involved in my business. But you don't understand devoting yourself. We are involved, not in all of your business, but in some of your business. Okay? Pastor Haley and I, our board is involved in our business. And I'm so grateful that they are. So grateful that they are. Okay? So sometimes people, either from shame or maybe they feel like, well, I'll get called out in front. We don't believe that's the right way to do it either. But to help you overcome. All right? And lots of people have overcome. Now, if you say to us, no, I'm too busy, week after week and month after month, then we realize you're not too busy, you're just avoiding a conversation. Okay. What you've just done is you've undevoted yourself. You said, I don't want help. I'm not committed to this group of people to be involved in my life. Okay, so we will not excommunicate you. All right, we're not going to put a curse on you, but we're not going to pretend that you're a member either. Because you're not, according to the Bible. Okay? So we want to help you, and I've found this in my life, and I found it in the life of so many, many others, is that most believers, for most sins, you need outside help. You need outside help. Because for many believers, you've already tried every technique you've known to try to combat this, and it didn't work. All right, and so there's grace in others. James put it this way, confess your faults one to another, not that you may be forgiven or that your sins are leave you. No, it says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Healed. Open and honest talk with a believer that you can trust. Amen? So, Devote yourself. And I know we're talking in Miracle Life about Miracle Life, but I want this to be galvanized in your heart forever, that you will devote yourself not just to church attendance, but to church participation, as we've seen. And as I was looking at this and praying, I thought, Lord, how can I do this? And God reminded me when I was in college. The first 3 years I was in college, I devoted myself to church attendance at this church in Tulsa. And at the time, their worship was like the Hillsong of the day. Their songs were sung all over the world. The pastor, who was a great, incredible Bible teacher, one of the best Bible teachers I've ever heard in my life. And I tell you, every Sunday was like the World Cup final. I mean, it was awesome. It was so awesome. And I had a chair and I had my notebook. Ba 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 boo. I didn't know a soul in the church. Okay? I was coming to receive. And to a degree, I did receive. Then, that summer, went back to stay with my mom and my brother for 3 months. Got a job. Didn't have a church home. Found a church that was... It was good, solid, but it wasn't like super church. So I just kind of sat there and miserable, and that whole summer, everybody I worked with were sinners, and they were serious. They were serious about sinning. I mean, they were they They had devoted themselves. I never, ever, I mean, because I grew up in a little town, now I'm in this big city, and it was, Okay, so I was miserable for 3 months. Next summer, I said, you know what? I'm going to devote myself to this church. Started going to their version of Merge. Got involved in a connection group. Same church was like 10 times more awesome. And at first I thought, whoa, the pastor got anointed. No, I got committed. I got devoted. And I still have people that are friends today. And oh my goodness, my life was transformed. Of giving and receiving and being involved in their life. And they met my girlfriend Haley when she came for a visit. Yeah. Yeah. So the same church, you can have wildly different experiences based on your devotion. And so while we are going to continue to take our responsibility very seriously and prayerfully and with God's help, we'll do the best we can with His grace. But here's one thing we cannot do for you. We can't devote you. You have to devote yourself to participation in a local church. And I dare you to do it. I dare you to go back to connection group. Not when it's convenient, not when you have petrol money, not when you like everybody. That's the other reason people leave. Well, I don't really like the way she looks at me, you know. Well, it's because you looked at her funny too, okay? Be committed, devote yourself, and watch your life take off in God. It will happen. It's God's plan, and it's just what He does. Amen? And like we said, if there's something that's not okay in your life, part of that devotion is that I'm going to get the help I need from the people of God. Let me close with this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. So there's different seasons of your life, and we've probably all been unruly, faint-hearted, weak, but to be in a place where there's godly patience and love and kindness that is extended to everyone. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you designed the local church for us as believers to grow, to participate. Lord, we need a lot of help. And so you designed this incredible thing. And Father, you designed the family. You designed the church family. And so, Lord, may we better participate according to your standards. And Lord, I know that probably everyone in this room has at some point or another in their life been hurt by someone at a church. I have, Lord. And I've been the one to hurt people at times, Father. And so, Lord, may we not give up on you in your way just because of a bad experience, God. May we go and be careful and hopeful. And may we participate with you in Jesus.